I can sing or I can clap, but I can't do both at the same time. I try to walk and chew gum, but I can't always do that either, so that's okay. You know it's October because the stores are beginning to put out Christmas decorations. That's how you know it's October. It seems like we can just kind of jump right through October, November, and we're just looking forward to Christmas and getting all that Christmas stuff out there. And the stores are helping us do that. And I'll tell you, I like Christmas. I just want you to know, I love Christmas. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love them all at your house, not at mine. I love to go out and look at those type of things and not have to mess with it in my own home. I really enjoy Christmas. I even watch Christmas specials. And every year, I watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. I don't know if you watch that. I watch a Charlie Brown Christmas. I have to do that because Linus has to tell me what the meaning of Christmas is. And when Linus does that, he quotes from the Gospel of Luke. And when he does, he talks about how there were, at that time, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said, listen to this, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And really, that's what this day is all about. And every time we come together, that is what it is all about, is looking for the good news of great joy for all the people. And I'm so happy that you are with us today. And I want you to sit back and worship God. Open your heart to receive Him and really think about what is the good news that is being shared today. As we take a look at this particular lesson, we're going to talk about the best news. You know, there's always bad news. I'll just throw it out there. I don't watch the news on TV. Because it got too depressing for me. So I just decided I'm done with that. I cannot wake up in the morning and hear that. And I don't want to hear it before I go to bed at night. So I'll just hopefully catch maybe some snippet on the radio. Or somebody will have a sign out in their yard and it'll tell me what the news is. But I don't really particularly care for the news. Because I need to hear the good news. And I'm inundated in this world with bad news. And I mentally, emotionally need to make sure that I'm hearing the good news. And the best news that there is that Jesus Christ came in this world to save sinners. That's the good news. And when we come to this particular story, this morning I'm going to walk through a passage of scripture that really is, it's one that if you grew up going to Sunday school, you're going to know this story. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Okay, and our story takes place in Luke chapter 19. In fact, most of you are familiar with this story, but we're going to kind of walk through the story to hear good news. So I'm going to open up Luke chapter 19. You can either follow along on the screen, or if you have a Bible, you want to read your own Bible, that's always good. I'm going to start with these first four verses. He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Let me give you just a little bit of some background that's going on here. First of all, I want you to understand the profession of Zacchaeus. And I'm probably going to just call him Zach. He and I are on a first name basis, so we kind of shorten each other's names. So Zach is, he's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. And to understand what that means is, to be honest, the Roman government had taken the empire had taken over most of the Mediterranean world. And so everybody still lived kind of in their own country, but they weren't truly free. And one of the things that everybody had to do was to pay tribute or taxes back to Caesar, back to Rome. And in order to do that, you had to have tax collectors. And the best way to do that was you would put people in their own countries, in their own towns, in their own areas, and they would collect the taxes from their own people to send back to Rome. And you would have a hierarchy of those tax collectors. The Jewish people, everybody had problems, but the Jewish people really had problems. Because you see, they believe there's only one king, and that is God. And they would see the throne of David that was in Jerusalem as truly something different than everything else. And so when someone came and said, hey, it's time to pay your taxes, man, it just sat terribly with them. And nobody liked a tax collector. Just show of hand, does anybody like tax collectors today? Okay. Zacchaeus was, he was the original IRS. I'm rich and short, IRS. And Zacchaeus was the chief of the tax collectors in that area. And by definition, probably the most hated person in that area. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And if you look at the story and the way it's outlined for us, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem because this is going to be the last trip there, and he will be crucified there. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going through Jericho. And Zacchaeus... Anybody remember the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he? Okay, you remember that song? Good. It's now stuck in your head. That's good. I got it out of my head. Okay. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. Okay. And that's why, that's the beginning of what's going on here. So Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus. I love verse 3. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. That's what he wanted to do. And I think to myself, here is this, okay, I'm going to maybe age myself. I'm thinking Danny DeVito has to play him, you know, in the movie. Short and kind of not necessarily the nicest character anyway. He can't see Jesus. There's this, like a parade that seems to have spontaneously gathered. They know Jesus was coming. And he wants to see Jesus. And I really don't know why, because the Bible does not tell us why. So I do have some conjectures. One of the disciples of Jesus, one of what we would call the apostles of Jesus, his name is, we call him Matthew. His birth name was Levi. He was a tax collector. I would just guess that they probably at least knew one another or knew of one another. And maybe he's thinking, hey, this guy Jesus is a nice person to someone like me that nobody else seems to care about. And so he climbs up into this sycamore tree. I find it sad that a person who wants to see Jesus can't. I come at this, the story here, and I'm thinking, he wants to see him. And again, we don't know why, but there has to be an emotional response here. You don't do what he's doing. This is a man who's, he is an outcast by society's standard, but yet he's extremely rich. So he has all of his physical needs taken care of. All of the wants and the pleasures of this world surely are at his disposal. But the one thing he really wants is to see Jesus. And because of who he is, the implication in our text is that others were literally blocking him. And the Bible says he was short. I get that. Okay? I'm not tall, and I'm shrinking as I get older. You know, I'm going to be like 4'10" by the time I die. And I sit in the front. I sit in the front for a couple of reasons. One, I'm going to get up and preach. Two, we've got a song leader who loves to get people to stand up to sing. Well, the moment somebody stands in front of me, I ain't seeing nothing. So, I mean, I got to sit towards the front so I can see. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, and literally people are blocking him. That's intentional. It's kind of their way of getting a little back at him. Nobody's saying anything. No laws are being broken. But I can make his life a little miserable today because he makes my life miserable every tax day. But here's what I love about Zacchaeus. He was a person who basically seems to say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I've probably not arrived at that point. I probably do care what people think about me. But Zacchaeus throws caution to the wind. And Zac decides, I'm going to throw my dignity out the window here. And he runs on ahead. So he comes around the crowd and he runs down and he climbs up into the sycamore fig tree. And he's sitting there on a branch waiting for Jesus to come by. He just wants to see him. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with a person who says, I will do whatever it takes so that I can see Jesus. I really am excited that you're here today and that we've had the opportunity to worship together and to come and to study together. Your choice to come today is kind of like climbing a sycamore tree. You decided, I'm putting the rest of my life on hold this morning, and at 10 o'clock, I'm going to go to see Jesus. No matter what else is happening in your life right now, the good, the bad, the ugly, you chose to come here. It's your sycamore tree. And you've climbed that tree, and you're looking to see Jesus. And a world filled with bad news, you were told, would you want to come and hear some good news? And that's what Zac does. He just wants some good news. So he climbs up into this sycamore tree to see Jesus. And what I want you to understand is Zac wanted to see Jesus. And we're about to read this. But Jesus already was looking for Zacchaeus. Isn't that interesting? Let's pick up our story. And we're going to pick up with verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled and said, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. This part of the story gets me really excited. Here I am. Here Zac is. He's up in the tree. And he's already lost all dignity. Nobody cares about him. And he's a grown man climbing a tree. And that just doesn't happen in the Jewish world. And He's looking, and I'm guessing he's smiling when he starts to see Jesus. I always think of a bend in the corner. I don't know why. I just do. So he's coming around the corner, and he's coming down the pathway where Zacchaeus is up in the tree. And he's like, yes, I get to see Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And my question is, so does his heart. I'm thinking Zacchaeus is like, uh-oh. You're supposed to pass by, you know, keep going. Jesus stops and he looks up into the tree. And he calls him by name. Never met this man before. Zacchaeus. You know, there's a parade that seems to have been forming for Jesus to come through on his way to Jerusalem. Everybody else seems to be excited. Jesus isn't calling out anybody's name. They're trying to block Zacchaeus. Jesus stops at the tree, looks up, and says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I have to stay at your house today. Just let that good news sink in. Jesus knows my name. He calls me by name. And he says, I want to stay at your place. So I sing the song in my head. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And you know, here's the way I was taught as a child. You have to point your finger. I don't know if you were taught this as a child. Zacchaeus, you come down from going to your house today, from going to your house. I don't think Jesus is like scolding Zacchaeus. And that's just the way it comes across to me in the song as a kid. Yo, Zacchaeus, get down here. Okay, it's an invitation, surprisingly, to his own home. Zac, come on down. I must stay at your place today. And the Bible says he hurried and came down. He's excited. Jesus saw value in a person nobody else valued. Isn't that a life lesson worth keeping? Jesus looked at this man and he saw worth. He saw something that was important. He saw a person who wanted to see him. And he knew the heart enough of this man that he says, I need to go to your place. Now, he is a rich person. He's in Jericho, which is really, by the way, not just a nice town. It is a town of wealthy people. There's a lot of money in that area around outside of Jerusalem where Jericho rests. Okay? I would guess he had a nice home. And I know I'm making some guesses. But he comes down and he welcomes him into his house. When he gets down, of course, Jesus is really the center of attention here. And remember, he couldn't see Jesus because everybody was blocking his way. Now, all of a sudden, it's clear a path. Here comes Zac, okay? And Jesus is walking next to him. And they're walking to his house. And as they're going to his house, don't you love these words? They all grumbled, muttered, complained. They all, here's my term, gossiped, saying, this man, wait a second, weren't you just out in the street to see this man you called Jesus? Now all of a sudden, because he doesn't fit your standard, he doesn't even get a name. This man has gone to be the guest of a sinner. It's almost like, man, I really thought Jesus was better than that. And guess what? Jesus is better than that. That's the neat thing. So here they are. They are all grumbling. But let's keep our story going. Verse 8. So I'm thinking they go into the house. The text is not exactly clear. Have they been in the house and then they come out? Or is this just at the house? But we come to verse 8. I'm thinking that they've been and they've talked. Something has happened anyway. Because in verse 8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.'" I don't know what happened inside of Zacchaeus that day. But Zac had a change of heart. Not just a change of heart, a change of life. And he makes a public declaration of who Jesus is. And a public affirmation of repentance. "I will give half of all my goods to those who need it most, the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody," and it's not so much an if like maybe, but it's a statement of saying, "when I have done the wrong, I'm going to try to make it right." He says, I'll restore it fourfold. You see, when Jesus comes into your house, when Jesus comes into your life, you're a changed person. It changes how you view life. It changes how you look at the world. It changes how you receive the news of everything that's going on around you. Because you have been touched by the one who loves you more than anybody else ever loved you. And his response, Zach's response to all of this, is, "I give half of everything I have to the people who really need it, the poor. And when I've been wrong, when I've wronged somebody, I won't just make it right. I'll make it right fourfold. I'm gonna have a totally 100% different life." Whatever happened, either in the house or at the house, there was a freedom that Zach had that he didn't have before. You see, I don't need a second chance. I need a Savior. And there's a difference. It's not, "I'm sorry, give me another chance." It's a, "I'm sorry, and I can do nothing about it. I need a Savior." Look at the response in verse 9 and 10. "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" The good news, Jesus knows you by name. The good news, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The good news, most of us carry around sin. And it's a burden that gets to be too much for us. I want to illustrate that to you. So I'm going to ask Noah if he would to come up and help me here. As Noah's coming up, I'm using this as an illustration. Just come on. I guess come on this side. How's that? Then I'll make you walk in front and back and all over the place. I'll try this. Oh, man. That's heavy. Okay. It's a commentary, don't take it wrong, and I feel bad for the guy. I'm going to pretend like this is sin, okay? So this is sin. I want you to put your hands out straight like that, okay? Don't bend your elbows or anything. Put your hands and put your palms out, okay? And the bottom line is we sin. Does that weigh very much? You feel like you could carry that around for a while? You can answer, but yes, okay. I'll understand the nodding of head. Most of us carry around our sin. And we don't think a whole lot of it. We deal with it. It's life. We kind of say everybody sins. But the problem is, I continue to sin. I'm not a perfect person. I haven't reached that perfection yet. And so my sin just keeps adding up as I grow and age. And this guy's strong. And so I keep getting more and more sin in my life. And I feel like I can handle it, but it's now getting to the point that I can't. So every now and again, we'll see now. Every now and again, sin adds up to the point that I can't carry it. I can't do it. The burden is too great for me. I try carrying that sin around. I don't need a second chance. I need a Savior. I need Jesus to come to my house, to come to my life. I need him to step into who I am and change me, to give me the freedom, the joy that comes from knowing I'm not carrying all that around anymore. He went to the cross for Zacchaeus. He went to the cross for me. And to be honest, I think I don't have to worry about this. But so often it feels like this. And isn't it great? Isn't it the best news ever? To know that Jesus Christ came seeking and saving the lost. I can't get any better news than that. I can take someone like Zacchaeus that everybody disliked and hear Jesus say, today, salvation has come to this house. And inside, I just want to say, and I need it too, Lord. And he comes into this house. And he comes into this house. And when he does, we are changed people. And that weight and guilt and shame of sin is taken away. And I can live the joy of my salvation. That's good news. And maybe you're here today and one of the things you have wrestled with in your life is, I know Jesus loves me, but I'm trying to do good, but I'm looking at my Bible, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, but. And Jesus just steps into your life and says, let's get rid of the but and everything that follows. And let me do what I came to do. Can I come to your house today? Will you receive the blessing of Jesus Christ and a changed life? If we can help you to do that, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?